It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25, but we're going to read just the last verse of that chapter, verse 40, and then we're going to read down through the sixth verse of chapter 26. And so please open your Bibles that you may follow along and particularly, you might want to try to take some notes today because we're going to be talking a lot about a lot of wonderful examples of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please, let's look now very carefully and see that we can look to the Word of God. But before you, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. So please, that you would look at that site. Please write to us if you'd like. Please listen to the programs on the radio. It's wonderful to be able to broadcast God's gospel and have these Bible studies, and I appreciate you joining us. Now, if you are ready, let's look to Exodus chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading with the 40th verse. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 28 cubits, the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain for the self-edge in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain, in the coupling of the second. And 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops thou shalt make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tacks of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tacks, and it shall be one tabernacle. Now we're going to end the reading there, because this is the first curtain that we see inside the tabernacle looking outward. And so please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank you that we can come together at this time. We praise you for your word. We thank you for the study that you've allowed us to have. And please, dear Lord, that you'll take this word and you'll touch every heart that's listening. And every one will be different. The lost will be saved. And the saved will be strengthened and grow closer to you and be more of a servant to you. Please, dear Lord, that happen today. Now, guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to read that 40th verse just for one reason, because I wanted you to see that this is not just Moses' plan. It's not just something that he has drummed up in his head and thinks, hey, this will be a good place to worship our God. It is God's plan. It is a picture of what Moses has seen, and I believe he took him into the heavens or opened the heavens up. I'm not sure which God has done, but whichever it was no question that Moses got to see the pattern. Moses got to see the perfect picture, and now he is making a pattern of that. And so, please, that we see that it is God's plan, God's way. Now, we find that as we look at this tabernacle, and as you're going to hear me repeat this several times just because it's necessary. And again, I hope that you're to a place where you can make some notes, because it's important to do that. We have in this tabernacle and the tabernacle courtyard, we have 7 pieces or articles of furniture. We have 2 in the courtyard, 3 in the holy place, and 2 in the holy of holies. In the courtyard, we have the brazen altar and then the brazen laver as we're coming in. The holy place, the first room, we find it to be the size of 30 feet by 15 feet. That may be about the size of some folks' living room or family room. And it, however, the ceiling is about 15 foot tall, which may be that's becoming more and more normal today to have a taller ceiling. But we are looking at the 30 by 15 by 15 foot tall. It's the holy place. There's three pieces of furniture there, articles of furniture. And you find the lampstand, and we find the table of showbread and the incense altar. Now, as we go into that room, you find that the lampstand's on the south side, the table of showbread's on the north, and the incense altar is in the center towards the curtain going into the Holy of Holies, which is the third area, the second room, and it is 15 by 15 by 15, and we have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is the two articles of furniture that we find in that location. The courtyard itself is 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. And the tabernacle total is 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. The outer curtain, or the fence, as you might call it, around the courtyard is 7.5 feet tall. And the tabernacle itself is 15 feet tall. So in looking at those two things, you can see that from the outside, not in the courtyard, from the outside looking in, you will be able to see the tabernacle because the fence outside is half the height of the tabernacle itself. And so that gives you some basics. I wanted to touch on those. Now, I want you to see that the tabernacle itself points to the person and the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also paints a beautiful picture of the believer and his position in Jesus Christ. And it also gives us a perfect and complete picture of the plan of salvation. Now, you see why I get so excited about the tabernacle and the study, because there is nowhere in God's Word that it is clearer and more specific than the plans to the tabernacle. And remember where we get these plans. Moses got these up on Mount Sinai at the same time he received the Ten Commandments and the law. The law condemns, and every time that judgment is placed and condemnation is present, God hands the way of grace. And so don't miss that, because we abide or try to abide by the law and work by the law. We can't. We must trust in the grace of God in order to have salvation. And God has given that to us at the cross of Calvary, and we need to see that this picture of the tabernacle is a complete and beautiful picture of what's to come some 1,500 years later at Calvary, outside of Jerusalem, up on the Mount, the skull, and as we see our Savior nailed to that cross. His blood was shed for us, and he died there. And then, of course, the great victory is that 3 days later, he was out of that grave and alive. So you see, we have our sins forgiven, and we have victory over death. And anyone that would come and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Redeemer, receives that perfect gift. And we're going to talk about where your position in Jesus Christ. That's such a beautiful picture that we have here. Let's back up just a little bit. And again, I want to get started with this curtain, the inner curtain, very quickly. But we did end with the lampstand last time. And this lampstand is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pure gold speaks of his deity. We have the gorgeous cups. There is no size given. And the example I gave to that is the door of the ark, Noah's ark. The door, there are no dimensions given. All can come. And here we have this beautiful lampstand. And as the wicks were trimmed and the cups were filled with oil. It was a constant light to have wonderful fellowship, feeding upon the bread on the table of showbread, enjoying the incense of the incense altar, and having all the necessary light we need, perfect light. Now, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for the believer. There is no outside light that shines into the holy place or the Holy of Holies. There is no light present except the light of the lampstand that is the only light. Any other light is light that has been literally cursed. It's man's light, man's opinion, man's way of doing things. And we have to do it God's way. And the only way we can do that is to come by the way of the altar, the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. The next step is the laver. This is all in the courtyard. The laver washes us, the washing of the Word of God. And we need to be washed because we walk in this dirty, filthy world. And then next, we come into this holy place. And this holy place, we have the light of the lampstand, and we have the table of showbread, so we can see to eat and to fellowship. Notice that there are no chairs in here. We are to be in service. We are to be busy, and we are to be working. And so, but we must be fed. But the only way we can be fed is if we have the light of the Lord Jesus and the bread of life, which is the Word of God. That's the only way. We don't need other books. We don't need other people's opinions. We need to learn how to study the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit teach us the truths that are found in it. And so please that you do that. Now, we have found our way in. You'll notice we're missing one article. We have not talked about the incense altar yet. The Scripture moves to the ceiling of the tabernacle. And if you'll notice, we do come from the inside looking out. And this is the position of a believer as you come by faith to Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can come and enter in again is through the blood, the offering, the sacrifice that you find at the altar that's outside. Now, you think of that altar, you think of the burning of that flesh, you think of the stench of death. If you've ever burned an animal that has died, and you got the fire started, and you smelled the burning of that flesh and of that body, it stinks. There's and the cost of our sin stinks, and the cost of that sin is death. The payment is death. And Jesus Christ died for us. Now, the pictures we have here are bringing the animals and the sacrifices, but it stinks, and it has an odor to it. And that's the reason that we have to come when we believe in Jesus Christ. It just breaks our heart because of our sin and who we are. We have no right to come. We can't come in a prideful manner. We must come with a humble, broken heart and ask our Savior to save us, ask Jesus to save us and become our Savior. Please that you do that today, that you look to Jesus Christ. And please that comes. And immediately upon trusting in Jesus Christ, then the washing comes. This cleansing comes. And that's, you know, today in most churches, that's been eliminated. Also eliminated is the feeding of God's Word, because we must know and learn the doctrines that God has placed in His Word. It's His living Word. It applies to every one of us. And if you look to the Word of God and you study the Word of God properly and correctly, and you can do that by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you'll find that many of the things that are done today in our churches are wrong and against the Word of God. They have become tradition. They have become something that makes you feel good, but it is not of God and is not of the Holy Spirit. Look to your Word. Penetrate, concentrate upon your Word. You know, if you're a lay person in a church and you says, well, my preacher doesn't preach this, and my preacher doesn't tell us about salvation, and so undoubtedly we don't believe that way. Well, you may not believe that way, but if you don't believe that way, salvation is not yours. Heaven is not going to be your home. Your sins are not going to be forgiven. And your home and your master right now is the devil, and your home is his home, future home, and that is the lake of fire. That's your choices. You either take the word of God and stop changing it and believe it and use it and walk in the light of the Lord Jesus, or you'll find that there is no salvation for you. You can believe it all you want to, but I'm trusting in the word of God, not some tradition that my church has had or some understanding of some man. Please, you read the Word of God. You study the Word of God, and you come by faith to Jesus. I want you to do that today, to come. Now, let's get into this holy place, the first room. We have, once again, the lampstand, table of showbread, the bread upon the table of showbread. We have this light, this beautiful light. Now, what is holding this building up? The foundation, you know, everything needs a foundation. I don't care what kind of building you build. If you don't build it with a proper foundation, it's not going to stand long. Well, we stand up on a wonderful foundation, and that foundation is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's the reason I tell you, if you deny the blood, and if you think the blood of Jesus Christ is not important, and you've replaced the word blood with his death, and you've ignored his precious blood that ran in his veins and was poured out for you, salvation isn't yours. Because everything is set upon the foundation of Jesus Christ's blood. And if you don't believe in that, now you may have got saved and didn't understand, but as the Holy Spirit teaches you the truth, that will become so clear and so true to you, and you will preach it and you will teach it and you'll love it because you know salvation came through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you deny that, if you deny that the blood, it was just the death of Jesus and his blood has nothing to do with it, salvation is not yours. It can't be yours because if you take the blood out, you take salvation away. You need to understand that. And so please today, and you say, oh, Larry, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. If you say you're saved and you deny the blood, you can't be. You can't be saved because the Holy Spirit that lives within my heart and the Holy Spirit lives within your heart is God if you're saved. And I guarantee you that he will not deny himself. And he will not deny the blood that bought you. So you ponder on that a little bit. You think about that a little bit. And the reason I'm spending so much time is because this whole building is set upon the foundation of silver sockets. Silver. And if we'll find here that every individual gives a half a shekel of silver. So every person that gave that half a shekel of silver becomes a part of this foundation. It becomes a part and includes our salvation. And so here we have 100 sockets. Each socket weighs 100 pounds each. And this whole building, this tabernacle proper, sets up on the foundation of silver. And silver, through the word of God, clearly represents his blood. And so you see this foundation, the very foundation of the tabernacle, is once again set upon the blood. Not upon his death, but upon the blood. And so just picture that now. Again, we're going 45 feet down the line. This is inside the courtyard of the tabernacle. We're going 45 feet down, 15 foot across, 45 feet back, and then across the front. And we have 100 sockets, and each socket weighs 100 pounds. And within this socket, it has a little notch down in it. And the purpose of that is for this upright board And we look at the board. It's 15 foot long. It's a little over 2 foot wide. And then it has two little projections at the bottom of it. And it sets down inside this silver socket. And so that holds the bottom. And you see this whole building rests upon this silver. The whole building rests upon the foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this board being 15 foot long and a little over 2 foot wide, it is an acacia wood, but then it's overlaid with gold. Inside and out, it is covered with gold, circled with gold. And so now you have the foundation, and you have this the boards that hold the side, and now we finally get to the there's one more thing. There are five bars that surround this tabernacle that tie it all together, and those two are acacia wood, and they're overlaid with gold that hold these walls up. And so we have, and the gold walls with the acacia wood inside speaks once again of Jesus Christ, of his humanity is the wood, and then of his deity is the gold. And so look at this beautiful picture here that we have already. We have the foundation being the silver, and we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wood speaks of his humanity. The silver, the gold speaks of his deity. Now remember, the table of showbread that's inside is of acacia wood overlaid with gold. So once again, we have the person of Jesus Christ, his humanity, his perfect humanity, and his deity is a picture there. But remember the lampstand? The lampstand is pure gold, so it is only speaking of his deity. And then the oil, of course, is the Holy Spirit, and that's what gives us our beautiful light to see. Now, we look at these layers, this tabernacle, this fine twined linen, blue, purple, scarlet with cherubims, cunning work shalt thou make it. And that's the first verse. And then it kind of speaks the rest of it as far as the length of it, and it speaks of how it is tied together. A curtain that would be 75 foot long and 15 foot wide would be almost impossible to handle. And remember, they take this thing, this tabernacle apart, and they travel for 40 years, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down, putting it up. And so as we look at this, we find it in sections. And we have, first of all, this curtain of fine twined embroidered with beautiful blue, purple, and scarlet colors. This covering is the covering that you see. You see it from inside. And so if someone is looking from the outside, from any direction around this tabernacle courtyard, or from just outside the tabernacle itself, you could be inside the courtyard, you still lack seeing the beauty, the fellowship that you have. And so it covers the top across, and it comes down each side. So kind of picture this curtain. And it comes in 10 separate curtains. They're all coupled together. And it speaks of how they are coupled together. And so as we get this curtain now that begins at the one end, goes all the way to the other end, and comes across the sides. So as you're standing inside, you're looking up and you see the beautiful colors of the blue and the purple and scarlet, and you see the beautiful cherubims that have been embroidered into the ceiling. Again, only visible from the inside. The only way you can get inside is to come by the altar, which is the cross where the sacrifice is made, by the laver. The washing must come first before the fellowship ever comes. And so then you come by the laver and you wash yourself and be clean, and then you are able to go into the fellowship. And again, from the outside, they see nothing. From the inside is where you see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see his perfect righteousness. You see his work of redemption. We must come inside to see Christ's glory. We must come through the door. We must come by the way of the blood. This ceiling has four colors, as we've mentioned. They're blue, scarlet, purple, and then, of course, white, because it is a white linen. And so this blue, if you'll look through the scripture, it tells us of heaven, of Christ's home, of his origin. The scarlet, of course, is his sacrificial death. The purple tells us that he is royalty. He is our king. King of kings is the Lord Jesus. Purple gives us that. And the white background, the white linen, is his sinless righteousness, his perfection. That's what that tells us. Now, the cherubims, they're hovering over. They're guardians of the holiness of God. They're watching every move as they are above us. Now, Ezekiel tells us a little bit of cherubims. It sure isn't these cute little figurines that you see many people have, many people get. It is not that, you know, people say, I have my guardian angel. No, you don't. We need to pray unto our God for his strength, for his protection to be upon our life. If he chooses to send one of his angels, he certainly can. But there is not an angel appointed to protect you and care for you. He may send a legion of angels to protect you if necessary. But you don't have a given. The day you're born again, God doesn't hand you this guardian angel to watch over you. That's not correct at all. That's man's thinking. Also, let's look at the explanation, the description of angels in Ezekiel. They are living creatures. They have four faces. And those four faces have man, lion, ox, and eagle. Now, you sure don't see that in these little figurines, do you? And they have several sets of wings that they can fly every direction, up, down, east, west, north, or south, immediately. The human, the man, shows us of human perfection. This is the picture that we have even in an angel. The lion, of course, is his kingship, his power. The oxen would be sacrifice, because you find that the oxen was an offering, a sacrifice, and also for service, because the oxen is an animal of labor and of service. The eagle's power, the eagle's authority, his sight to see all, tells us of the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four characters of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this can be seen as you enter into the holy place. What a wonderful picture we have when we step in. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Can you imagine this? You have come by the altar, the stench of death. And then you come to the brazen laver, and you come and you wash up. You wash off the filth of the day. And then you come in prepared for fellowship. And you enter in to this place that has no natural light, but only the light of Jesus Christ. And we begin to fellowship with other believers, and we become a priest. The Word of God's clear that the day we become a child of God, we take the position of a priest, and that is all that can enter into this holy place is priests, ones that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now we've been redeemed by the blood at the cross, the altar. We've been washed, and now we come into this place, and all we see is the light of Jesus. And we begin to feed upon the table of showbread. Begin to feed upon this bread. And as we do that, we have a wonderful the fellowship that we have here is tremendous, because we're learning his word. We're taking it in as you would to take bread in. And you're standing, and the fellowship there by the light of the Lord Jesus is wonderful. And now let's take one quick look around. We have 15-foot golden walls, And we have this beautiful ceiling of blue and scarlet and purple and white, and the cherubims are embroidered above us, and we stand there in awe of the beauty of Jesus Christ. Only a person that comes to Jesus Christ and comes in by the way of the cross and comes to the place of the washing can enter in to the fellowship. We haven't got to the worship yet. Oh, what a wonderful study. My dear friend, as always, it goes so quickly. What are you going to do about Jesus?